life doesn't go the way that you expect it should go. But that's not up to us. That's up to God. And I'm thankful that God's doing what God wants done. And I'm just going to trust and obey and walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. The Bible says that, you know, the just shall live by faith. And that's something about faith. Hebrews 11 says the faith is something things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a lot easier when we can walk by sight, but that's not the way God intends it to be. God said we shall walk by faith, not by sight. So if you have a grain, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, He said, now mount be removed. And it'd be, I mean, just that much faith. You know, I believe that God looks at me and says, oh, ye have little faith. I believe He could speak that for all of us, but I'll tell you a little bit more after the service. If you want to know, just tell me, but I'm not going to go into that great detail. Like I said, you'll know exactly what God's doing in my life and before long. But if you want to know, just ask. But we'll give you a little bit of prayer request before we start in the message. Pray for Brother Gary. He got to come home later this afternoon. I think he took a picture of Krispy Kreme and posted it on Facebook. So he's going to make a little bit of pit stop and get a little bit of sugar before he gets home. And you pray for him and Miss Regina. Continue praying for Brother Woody, that God will touch him and continue to give him the healing that he needs. And Brother Steve and Sister Mary and Brother Dennis are so much being prayed for. Church, I'm not going to go into all those, but you know the need. You got a bulletin, flip those over. You can read those and pray for those. Any other announcements before we get into the message? Like I said, I was struggling with the message. I believe this is a message for the hour. The pastor, several messages that he's been preaching has been encouragement, trying to throw out a life vest, trying to throw out, you know, something to be an encouragement, something to help you. This is one of those messages. I'm not going to go up here and just beat you with a rod or anything. I'm trying to get up here and just preach my heart to tell you that somebody cares and there is hope. And this was one of those messages. And I sit there, I preached it before a couple weeks ago. I preached it again before. And I sit now, I thought, God, is this, are you sure this is the message you want? And the song, My Hope Is in the Blood. The first song he opened up with is I Feel Like Traveling On. All those songs, if you listen closely, they'll tie into every word I'm going to say, every point, it ties into that, all the songs. And then the youth choir got up there, and that's just icing on the cake. There's a brighter day coming. I'm thankful for that. All these trials won't even be a memory.
That's right.
And then God gives grace. Being sung that song, God gives grace. And I believe that's what it's going to take for us to go on. We're going to have grace. We have to have more grace. I'm thankful that He has the grace. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm thankful for that. But we'll go ahead and turn over to Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. Will you please stand when you find the place? You pray for me. I'm stammering and just stuttering. You just pray for me that God will get the glory and God will help me preach this message. I'm nothing without Him and I need His touch and His power. And I know that He has it. So you just pray for me. Job chapter number 1. We're going to read several scripture, but you just remain standing. I'm not asking you to stand for me. I'm asking you to stand for that Bible that you hold in your hand. Job chapter 1, and begin in verse number 6. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth now thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, have they slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 17 says, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans came The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. 20 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. With God's help, I want to preach a simple message on the title of my message is, what to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to you once again, Lord. Thank you for all of your blessings. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand. God, I pray you just help me. Lord, I'm just a simple man. God, I pray you anoint my words. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just, Lord, just anoint my thoughts, Lord, everything about me. God, I pray you just, Lord, help me, Lord, to stand, Lord, where no man stands alone. Lord, I pray, Lord, I need your touch. Lord, I need your power. God, I pray you use me if I'm usable. I want to be an encouragement to your people. God, I pray, Lord, I don't want to be a hindrance. But God, I pray, Lord, I want to be a blessing to them. Lord, I want to, Lord, just encourage them. Lord, just continue on. And God, I pray, Lord, continue to seek in him. God, I pray just remove the enemy out of the presence. God, I pray, Lord, we plead the blood, Lord, of the precious Lamb of God over this service. And God, I pray, Lord, just be in the service today. And God, I pray if there's anybody, Lord, carrying a burden, Lord, anybody with any troubles, God, I pray, Lord, just come to you. Lord, give them to you. Lord, you're the great burden bearer. And God, I pray that you just, Lord, do what you do best. God, I pray that you continue being, Lord, and we thank you for what you've done. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. But I was beginning to think about what to do when you don't know what to do. Here's a man named Job. And you go back and look in verse number 1. The Bible says that Job was a perfect man. He was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. You go back and you're trying to look at the characteristics of Job. Job was a good man. Job, he wasn't good as in he hasn't sinned, because we know the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth, there's none that walketh about that doesn't sin. The Bible says that we've all are sinners. And we know that Job was sin, but when God looked at him, he saw something special. God said, there's no man like Job. Job was someone set apart. Job was someone that sought after the Lord. Job was somebody who rose up and prayed. Job was one that cared about his family. As we see, Job was a family man. He had sons, he had daughters, he had a wife, and he got up early. He went and made sacrifice for himself. He was the high priest of his house, and this shows how long before this book was written. This was before Moses and all them, and Abraham and all them, I honestly believe, because here, he didn't go to the temple and let them make the sacrifice. He did it himself. He went before. He made the sacrifice for himself. He made the sacrifice before his children. He said, even if they've sinned, I'm going to make a sacrifice to the Lord for them on their behalf. So here we can see that a father has compassion toward his sons and daughters. Here we see a man that cares about his family. He said, I'm going to go and intervene before them. I could preach a whole message there on the father going and doing this and intervening for his children. I'm thankful that we have a God in heaven who intervened and sent his son before us. But that's another message. I'm not going there. But here we can see a man, he was wealthy. The Bible says that in verse number 3, it says, this man was greatest of all the men of the east. Here we can see a man who had all these possessions. He had family, he had wealth, he was perfect, he was upright. He was just an overall, a good Christian man. But here we can see what happened. Satan came before God and started talking, and it wasn't Satan that came up with an idea about trying Job and taking it all away. You know whose idea it was? It was God's idea to try Job. And you know why? I believe Satan knew that he couldn't touch Job. Why? Because he even questioned God. He said, haven't you put a hedge about him? Satan knew he was limited. Why? Because that hedge of protection. I thank God for the hedge of protection about us. And I'm thankful for that hedge. But sometimes the hedge can come down. And that's God's business. But I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching on what happened to Job. Here we can see Job had it all, but he lost everything. He got up one morning within 24 hours before he went back to bed. Here's a man who lost it all. Here's a man who lost his family. Here's a man who lost his fortune. Here's a man who lost everything that he had. He lost everything. And before that, he goes back to bed. You know what happens to his body? His body becomes infected. His body gets all these boils and sores all over him, a form of leprosy, I guess you could say. And there he is sitting in the ashes of yesterday's fire, sitting there and he's scraping those open wounds, scraping them to try to get relief. Here's a man who woke up one morning, had it all. Before he went back to bed, he had nothing. You think about that. No doubt Job was sitting there scratching his head saying, here I am trying to live right. Here I am trying to sell out for God. Here I am making sacrifice. Here I am doing all these things that's right. And this happens to me. I lose my children. I lose my home. I lose my fortune. I lose those things that I worked so hard to get. God, how could you do this? God, I just don't understand what to do when you don't know what to do. I believe that thought popped into Job's mind. God, what do I do? God's help, I'll share what to do when you don't know what to do. Notice in verse number 20 what happens. It says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and what? And worshiped. He fell down upon the ground and worshiped. You got a picture of what this man has. This man has it nothing now, but he had everything. He had wealth. He had fame. He had fortune. He had a family. He had servants. He had it all. And it was all taken away from him. You know what he did? The Bible says he worshiped the Lord. He didn't fall down and complain. He didn't fall down and grumble and say, why me? God, how could you do this to me? God, I thought you loved me more than this. No doubt the devil is the same as he is today, like he is back then. No doubt he came up with Job and said, Job, just curse God and die. Job, look what happened. Look, you're selling out for God. You're trying to make a difference, and this is what God does to you. If he really was a God, this would have happened. But you know what Job, did? The Bible says he fell upon the ground and worshiped. You know what I believe what he said? Here's a man who had nothing, yet possessed it all. It reminds me of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:10, as having nothing and yet possessed all things. Why? Because he knew he didn't have nothing, but he knew the one who had it all. He knew the one who made the very creation, who spoke it all into existence. Here's a man who didn't have nothing, but he had everything because he had Christ. He had the Lord. It was on his side. Here's a man who had nothing. He sat there and thought, man, what to do when you don't know what to do? Church, have you ever been there? I tell you the first thing to do, what to do when you don't know what to do, continue to praise God. Continue to praise God. The Bible says he rent his mantle, fell down upon the ground, and worshiped. Can I tell you, church, even though if a thing don't go our way, you know what? We can still worship God. You can still thank God. Even though your job might be taken away, your health might be taken away, your family might be taken away, even though you might be facing a divorce, even though you might be facing cancer, even though everything in your world might be falling apart, it might be shattering at the very seam of everything's gone. But you know what? You can still thank God for your salvation. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews 9 and 12? Blood of goats and calves, but by his own precious blood he entered once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us all. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ lived and died for someone like me. He came and died for someone like me. And even though I might not have everything, even though my health might fail eventually, even though my job might fail eventually, even though this might happen, that might happen, even though I might lose everything, even though I might not have a bed to crawl into before the sun rises again, even though my family might forsake me, even though my church, my family, my friends, everything walks out on me, you know what? I can still thank God for my salvation. I can still thank God for what he's done in my life. Even though he takes away all those blessings in life, even though he takes away all those temporal things in my life, those things that I can touch, those things that I can see. But you know what? There's something a lot more in this world than the world to come. Things that we can't see, things that we can't touch. We're laying up treasures for them over there. Even though God might take away all the things that we see, the glitz and the gold and the glamour of this world, you know what? He's going to replace those with something far more better in that world to come. I tell you, church, when God takes it all away, we can still sit back and thank God for what he's done in our life. I tell you, church, there's been time in my life, and I'm going through it now. I'm not going to give you everything what God's doing, but we just sit back and we think, God, this ain't the way it's supposed to be. But you know what? His thoughts are not our thoughts, neither his ways our way. I tell you exactly, can I tell you what God's doing in my life? Can I just be honest with y'all for a little while? It's just whenever God presents to a man just to walk by faith and not by sight. I tell you, it's hard for a man to just take that step. To take that step in the great beyond, in the world of the unknown. And I mean, there are questions everywhere. I tell you, God's been impressing my heart about doing a ministry, stepping out, just taking it, just walking by faith and not by sight. God's been doing a work, and I was on my way to work maybe a week ago, and I was arguing with God. I poured my heart out, just trying to argue with him and try to reason with God. And you know better that it doesn't work when you reason with God. You can't argue, you just need to obey. And I'm sitting there and arguing with God, saying, God, I was going to be a supervisor. God, I was getting ready to do this. And God, you don't understand. I had a retirement. I had this. I had it all. God, I'm supposed to retire at this age, and I'm supposed to be living good. And God, this is the way it's supposed to happen. And God brought that. God cut me with a sword. God used his own word against me. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. And so much farther the heaven is, you know that scripture I'm misquoting. God brought that back, and he cut me with that. And I said, well, God, what about this? How's this going to be, man? If I walk out and I lose my job and I close the door on that, God, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to have a family? God, how am I going to have a house? God, how are these? You know what he said? He brought back the scripture in Philippians. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I said, well, God, what about this? Well, how's this going to answer? He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. I said, well, God, what about this? You know what he kept doing? He kept using his own word against me. He kept on using, bringing back scripture from my study, kept bringing back scripture from my personal time with him. You know what he was saying? He said, child, just take me at my word. Just take me by faith. Just take that step. Sometimes we don't understand what God's doing in our life, but you know what? It's not us to understand. It's not us to obey. We need to close that door and let God open another. We need to just keep walking by faith and not by sight. We might not see it. We might not understand it. It might not be the way that we expect it to go, but we can trust that he works all things out for his good and for his own glory. We might not understand it. We might not like it, but you know what? We can always trust that he's going to get the glory out of our life. He's going to get the glory out of the storm that comes our way. We studied about over in John, about that blind man who God touched and God healed. And they said, you know, who sinned? Did his mom sin? Did his dad? Did he sin? He said, no, this man was put in that situation for me to get the glory. You know what? I believe so many times, church, we go through a storm in our life. The seas rage and the thunder clash and everything goes wrong. Everything's falling apart. Not that we've been bad, not that we've sinned, but we're in God's perfect will. The storm comes in our life to cause us to be uneasy. That way we can run to him. That way we can see the power of God being manifested in our lives. Because the world looks at them and said, you know what? They've got cancer. They went through a divorce. They're going to sit back and just be on a pew. They're going to rot. They're going to do nothing for God. But God said, no, I got a better plan than that. I'm not going to sit them there, even though they've been a divorce, even though they have cancer, even though they're going through this calamity. I'm not just going to let them sit there. I'm not going to let them be forgotten, but I'm going to use that. I'm going to manifest my power, my glory in their life. I'm going to pour a little bit of grace there. They're sitting down there and they're discouraged. They thought, I'm just going to give up. There's nothing, no good for me. I don't have a hope. I don't have a future. But God uses those type of people to bless most. God uses those type of people that he can fulfill his divine will through. And he's looking for people that's been broken. He's looking for people that's given up their own self-will. He's looking for those people that died out to self, died out to sin, and died out to all those things of the world. He's looking for somebody to just throw up the white towel and say, God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. But God, I'm just going to trust you. God, I'm just going to surrender. God, I'm just going to put you first. And God, I'm going to take my hand off the steering wheel, and I'm going to let you control my life. I'm going to sell out to you. There's a difference between being a Christian and being a sold-out Christian, a surrendered at all Christian. I tell you, I'm not just satisfied being a Christian. I'm not just satisfied being in the family of God. I want to go deeper. I want to go farther. I want to be one of those mighty men of God. I want God to use me in a mighty way. Not that I could get the glory because I'm nothing. I need to be in hell, but that he could get the glory out of my life. That he could get the praise out of my life. That he could get what he needs to be. He's worthy of all honor and glory. I'm nothing without him, but I want to be that type of man. I want to be that type of preacher that's giving God his all. I don't care about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow has its troubles today. I'm worried about today. I'm worried about doing the will of God today. I could care less about all those things. It's time we get serious with God. There's a difference in being a Christian and being a sold out Christian. Church, which one are you? Are you a sold out Christian? Are you just a Christian? I tell you, I'm not just satisfied being a Christian. I tell you, give God your all. We sing that song, Scott. We sing that song, I Surrender All. Church, if you gave him your all, if you gave him your all, I'm talking about every single ounce of you, not holding anything back. You say, well, I gave him everything. Have you really? God knows the truth. If you gave him your family, if you gave him your house, your children, your finances, your future. I tell you, so many times we bargain with God. God, I'm going to give you this, and God, I'm going to give you this, but God, I'm going to keep this back. I'm going to hold on to this. I tell you, God wants that secret thing in your heart. God wants the most precious thing to you. I think about Abraham and Isaac. You know what? God didn't want Isaac, but you know what? God wanted to see that Abraham was willing to give up Isaac. Why? Because Isaac was one of the blessings that God gave Abraham. And God said, Abraham, I gave you that blessing, but you're going to give it back to me? You know what Abraham did? Abraham turned around and was willing to sacrifice. He said, I don't understand how God's going to do it, but if I sacrifice him and kill him, God's going to bring him back because he gave me a promise. Tell you, church, if God gave you a promise, you can hold on to it. He's going to answer that promise. I tell you, he's never forsaken us. He said, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I said, church, I don't understand what's going to happen in my life. I don't understand 5 years down from the road. But you know what? I'm just going to give God everything. I'm just going to put it into his hands. You know, and I don't understand what he's doing. But you know what? I'd rather be living in God's will than out of his will. I'd rather be living for him than just be just put on a shelf. You know what? I don't understand all those things. But you know what? I'm glad that the true happiness and true peace can only come from doing that. I tell you, just pray for me. Like I said, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I got a lot of questions, but you know what? I'm just going to trust him. I'm just going to put it in his hands. And you know what? He's not going to let me down. He's not let anyone down. I tell you, I don't know all those things, but he'll answer it. That wasn't in my notes. That wasn't anything. That's my heart. What to do when you don't know what to do? I'll be done. I'm not even looking at my watch. I told Justin I'm going to be up here 30 minutes, and the 30 minutes starts now. No, church, I'll be done in a minute. What to do when you don't know what to do? I tell you, you continue to praise God. I tell you, you look back, even though you might not have anything, your house is gone, your health is gone, your family's gone, your fortune's gone. Everything you have, materialistic, is gone. You still have the Lord. You still have his peace. You still have his power. You still have his presence. And I'm glad all those things are in my life. I still have those things. Church, you still worship God when everything's taken away from you. What to do when you don't know what to do? Continue to trust. Secondly, continue to trust God. Look over into chapter number 23 of Job. 23 and verse number 8. It says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But you know what? But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more necessary than my food. Church, what to do when you don't know what to do? Continue to trust him. Amen. You know what he said? He said, I go forward and I don't see him. I go back and he's not there. The left where he works, he's not there. And the right, he's not there. Everywhere I go, I don't see God. But you know what? He said, but he knows. He said, I don't know, but he does. Amen. Even though I look back, I look all around, I look side to side, I don't see God, I don't sense God, I don't feel God. But you know what? When you can't do all those things, I'm glad you still can trust God. Even though you might not feel him, even though you can't see him, I'm glad you can still seek after him. You can still trust him. And I'm thankful that you can still trust God. Even though he might not be within a million miles, you know what? His eyes still on you, and I'm thankful for that. Here Job is. He's saying, I don't understand. He's not around me. But he knows where I'm at. I don't know where he is, but he knows where I'm at. After all, that's all that matters. As long as his eyes on me, that's all right. You think about this. God just gave me this illustration. As a little boy, you might be outside playing in the yard. You might not see your mom. You might not see your dad. But you know what? I guarantee you, their eyes are still on you. You might not be able to see them. You might think, hey, I might get into danger. I might get out here and do something I might not do. You might not be able to see them. But I guarantee you, if they let you alone in the front yard, they're probably peeking through the window. They're probably looking over the kitchen window. They still have their eyes upon their little boy and little girl. I guarantee you, that's the same way God is in our life. Even though we might not look around and say, God, I don't see you. God, I don't feel you. But you know what? God, I can still trust you. Job said, even though I don't understand it, even though I don't see it, God, I know the way that I take, and you know the way I'm taking. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 11. He says, my foot. He said, you know what? The walk that I'm doing, if I'm not changed that. He said, my talk. In verse number 12, he said, from the commandments of his lips, he said, I've not changed my walk and I've not changed my talk. He said, I'm still going to do what I've always done. I'm still going to walk that straight and narrow path. He said, I'm still going to give God praise. Even though I don't understand what God's doing in my life, even though I can't see him, I still can trust him, and I'm still going to give him everything. I'm still going to walk that walk. I'm still going to talk that talk. I'm not going to change what God told me to do. I'm going to keep on doing what God called me to do. He said, I don't know, but he does. Church, what to do when you don't know what to do? You can continue to praise. You can continue to trust. Job chapter 13 and verse number 15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he may slay me. He said, you know what Job said? Job said, you know what? I might not understand it. They might not be it tomorrow. I might die today, but you know what? I'm going to die trusting him. Hey, church, if we ever get to that place where we just say, God, whatever you want's what I want. God, if you just take me out of here, that'd be all right. God, if you want me to serve, that'd be all right. God, what makes you happy makes me happy. I tell you, Job got to that point. Job said, I'm tired of trying to figure it out. God, I'm tired of reasoning. And he said, God, I'm just going to give up. If you slay me, I'll still trust you. At your church, if we can ever get to that point, we get so low, God will exalt us. God will lift us up if we're willing to get so low, humble ourselves. God says, humble yourselves and the Lord will exalt thee. I tell you, that's the problem that we all have, humbling ourselves, getting down, saying, God, I've made a mess. God, I made a mistake. God, I'm still going to seek you. God, I'm still going to trust you. God, I'm still going to go after you. And it's only then God will lift you up. I tell you, once you make yourself nothing, God will give you everything. I tell you, that's what God's looking for. Job said, though he would slay me, yet will I trust in him. Hey, church, I don't understand what God's doing, but you can still trust him. Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good. I tell you, church, I don't know the sufferings that you're going through, but you know what? God knows what he's doing. Amen. You're in the very storm. God, that storm didn't come by surprise. That storm didn't come by Satan. You look what Job went through. That wasn't one of Satan's plans. It was one of God's plans. God allowed that hedge to come down. God allowed that storm. God allowed all those things to come in Job's life. Why? That way Job could stand back and say, God, you're getting ready to do something in my life. God, you're getting ready to do a miracle. God, you're getting ready to get the glory out of the storm in my life. Can I tell you, church, what storm are you going through? What are you faced right now that God can get the glory out of? You might be sent back saying, God, it hurts, but still trust. God, I don't understand, but still trust. God, it's not supposed to be like this. Still trust. God, I don't understand everything. God, I'm just, the heat's turned up. God, I can't handle it. Still trust. Still praise. Hey, Terry Church, listen to what the Bible says in Romans 8:8. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I tell you, 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice in so much as you are but the partakers of Christ's sufferings, and that his glory shall be revealed in you with also exceeding joy. I tell you, the sufferings that we're going through, the troubles and the trials and the tribulation that we're going through, you know why we're going through those? Because God allowed them to come in our lives. God allowed those things to come and take us by surprise. Not that we can sit back and say, God, if you really love me, this is what happened. But we can sit back and say, God, you're still worthy to be praised. God, you're still going to get the glory. God, you're still going to be praised. God, we're still going to seek you. God, we're still going to trust you. That way the world, whenever the world looks at us and say, hey, they've got cancer, this diagnosis is facing them, and this family's falling apart, and this person is suffering from divorce, and there's not going to be any use for God. God can't use them. And God's going to get the glory out of that person. God's going to be able to work in that person's life. God's going to be able to pour that grace in. God's going to be able to give them that joy. But you know what? It's going to take that suffering in order for him to get the glory. And I tell you, church, are you willing to suffer for him to get the glory? And I tell you, church, it's easy to go through life when bills are being paid. Your health is good. There's money in the bank. The house is good. Everything's perfect. But how many of you are willing to go through a storm if God can get the praise? You think about that. Are you willing? Maybe cancer comes your way. Maybe death comes your way. Maybe disease comes your way. Maybe disaster falls. Are you willing to go through that? That way God can say, that way people can say, man, God's doing something in his life and God's going to get the glory. Are you willing to go through the storm? Are you willing to go through the fire? That way God can get the glory. A lot of people want the easy road. But you know what? There's no rewards on that easy road. There's no rewards on that easy path. But you know what? If you go that path, one very few men and women travel, God's going to get the honor and glory out of that person's life. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to go through those things? It might not be comfortable, but one day you'll look back and you thank God that you went through that trial. You went through all those things. You're glad that you carried that burden. Why? Because one day when you stand before him, you get that crown, you get that jewel, you get that reward. You can turn around and lay it down at his feet. Amen. Church, what to do when you don't know what to do? Continue to praise. Continue to trust. A few more and I'm done, I promise. What to do when you don't know what to do? Continue to seek him. Continue to seek him. I don't know why, but so many times trouble comes our way. We just want to stop. We just want to give up and go home. I tell you, that's not the way Job is. I tell you what Job did. Job said, I'm going to continue to seek. Turn to Job chapter 2 and verse number 8. It says, and he took a potsherd to scrape himself with. And look at the last of that. And he sat down among the ashes. And he sat down among the ashes. He said, preacher, what does that mean? If you go back in verse chapter number 1 and start reading, you know what he did? Every day he'd get up and make a sacrifice. He'd get up and make a sacrifice. He'd get up and make a sacrifice for him, for his family, for his children's daughters. You know what he did? I believe it was a burnt sacrifice. He went up there and he did that. I don't know. You know what ashes is? A fire was previously there. You know what happened to the fire? God came down and God got the offering. You know where he went? He went to where he met God before. He went back to that previous place. He said, I went there before and heard from heaven. I went there before and got some help. I went there and gave him an offering. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to that place where I heard from him. I'm going to go back to that place where I gave God all. I'm going to go back to the Lord. I'm going to go back to that certain place and just fall down. That's what Job did. He went back to that same place seeking God. I tell you, church, what to do when you don't know what to do? Continue to seek him. We find Job in the ashes. Ashes is the leftover from past fire. We can see in chapter 1, Job met with God whenever he went to do that. Church, when you don't know what to do, continue to seek him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible says in Psalms 42 and verse number 2, my soul thirsteth for thee. My soul thirsteth for God. I tell you, church, are you thirsting for God? Has your trouble, has your trial pushed you away from God, or has it pushed you to God? Has it pushed you going to church? Has it pushed you out of church? Has it made you bitter? Has it made you better? I tell you, church, problems and trials and troubles and tribulations come your way. Don't allow them to push you away from God. Amen. Use that thing and run closer to God. I believe he's just waiting for people to just throw up their arms saying, God, I surrender all. God, I'm tired of carrying that burden. God, I'm tired of just bearing that load. God, you're the great burden bearer, and I'm just going to surrender it all at your feet. And God, I don't understand it. God, I might not enjoy it. God, I might not like it. But God, I'm just giving it back to you. And God, if you can get honor and glory out of my life, God, I'm willing to go through that trial. God, I'm willing to go through that pain and that suffering. God, if you get honor and glory, Lord, I'm willing. I tell you, church, are you willing to do that? Lastly, and I'm done, don't allow your problems to push you away from God, but allow them to get you closer. What to do when you don't know what to do? And I'm closing with this. Continue to praise. Continue to trust. Continue to seek. Lastly, continue to go. Continue to go. God knows what he's doing. You can trust God. He's faithful. He's not going to give up on you. Job chapter number 42 and verse number 12, it says, so the Lord blessed the later end of Job more than his beginning. Did you hear me? Bob says, so the Lord, it is just a happenstance. It just so happened. It says, the Lord blessed Job. Amen. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Continue to go. No doubt Job could have just sat down there and said, God, I just surrender. God, I'm going to give up. God, you took away my children. God, you took my sons and my daughters, my health, my wealth. God, you took everything away from me. God, I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to give up. God, I'm just, me and my wife, we're just going to be content. We're just going to die. But you know what? Job said, no, I'm going to continue to go. I'm going to continue to seek. I'm going to continue to praise. I'm going to continue to trust. You know what God said? I believe God looked over at the devil and said, I told you he'd praise me. I told you he'd go through that. You know why? Because God knew God knew Job's heart. God knew Job better than Job knew Job. God looked at Job and said, that's a man I can have faith in. That's a man I trust. You know what? God was willing to put Job to the trial. You know what? God said, I know what he's going to do. And just to prove you wrong, I'll let you do it. I'll take down the hedge. I'll let you put him through anything, but you can't kill him. You can do anything you want to that man. And I guarantee you that man will hold his confidence in me. That man will trust me. That man will praise me. That man will seek me. That man will continue to go no matter what you do. And I tell you, church, are you a Job? If God let the hedge come down and said, Satan, you can do anything you want to him, but don't kill him, would you still be the Christian you are today? Or would you just surrender? I tell you, what if God took your baby? What if God took your spouse? What if God took your job, took your health, took your wealth, took everything you had? Would you still be able to sit back and say, blessed be God. He giveth, he taketh away. And I hear you, church, would you be like Job? What to do when you don't know what to do? Job knew what to do. Job said, I'll praise, I'll trust, I'll seek, and I'll go. Church, what are you going to do as we stand all over the house tonight?